Very good.
Okay, the board just concluded an executive session for pertaining to deliberations of the Board of Commissioners to review the report for the activities of a quality improvement committee. Are there any actionable items pursuant to this executive session?
Yeah. Go ahead. I would move that conclude the investigation concerning the matter of QA review.
Okay. I would second that.
Okay, discussion?
I just
can't help us hear you.
I'm sorry?
We can't help us hear what you're saying when you speak quietly to each other.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll just note that the board had difficulty finding someone to review this. They found someone out of state who basically used a checkbox to inform us and what happened. There were some notes of some minor stuff, and I think the motion I made was not deep enough to get where I thought we should go. But given that and all the extenuating circumstances associated with that particular thing, I'm going to let it go, and we'll go on and work on other issues.
I don't have negative things to say about the evaluation. I think it was competently done. I think that the endpoint of this has already been reached, and to throw more community resources on the order of $4,800 into this already would be foolishness. I think I agree with Dr. Appleton that the deal is done and this should be concluded. Rebecca, any comments?
You agree with everything I said?
Did I say everything?
Well, I don't know.
Well,
you said you agreed with me, and I said a lot of things.
Yeah, you do. But this time around, yes. Lisa?
I have concerns about the comprehensiveness of the investigation. I don't think appropriate amounts of information were presented. However, I think in the best interest of this board, we have to let it go.
Okay, very good. Call for a vote. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
I'll abstain.
I will abstain as well.
Okay, we have 3 ayes and 2 abstentions. Motion carries. Any other actionable items from the executive session? Okay. Okay, we'll move on to the next. First of all, did you finish your report, Chief Martin?
Yes, I did.
You did, sir. Very good. Any questions of Chief Martin with regards to the EMS report? Next order of business is San Juan County PhD operations report. Superintendent, please.
What's that?
Where are we?
Audience break.
So.
Oh.
We broke because we needed to get the internet lines.
So did I miss something here?
No. Actually.
Oh, it's not on this agenda, is it?
No,
but it's on yours.
It's not, but it's online.
Well, let's go on yours. You have a better copy than I do.
It's the yellow copy.
Okay.
So it's the review of the training certification.
Okay, Rebecca, so let's have you speak first. Okay
so I am going to get a report. So I've been reporting every month on the EMS training committee that was approved by this board. After Dr. Sullivan requested the board's assistance following his notification to the Department of Health that the agency was out of compliance with training. The second issue related to Dr. Sullivan making available his DEA license for ordering controlled substances. I've reported on this in the last couple of meetings. As chair of that committee, I tried to keep the report short and to the point, but after last month's meeting when Commissioner Appleton erroneously stated that the agency's ongoing training and education plan fell apart, that the Department of Health allowed the agency to deviate from the plan, that the chief was out of compliance with state requirements, and that there was confusion about the law. There have been numerous questions from the public. First and most importantly, I would like to say EMS is performing, as it always has, in an exemplary fashion, meeting and exceeding all requirements and consistently ranking in the top 10 nationally for cardiac arrest survival rates. EMS is not in trouble. The agency is doing well from a personnel standpoint, from a legal standpoint, and financially. The paramedics and volunteer EMTs are an extraordinary team. Secondly, the paramedics are all certified by the Department of Health and all have active paramedic licenses. This includes Wei-Shun Kun's Ryan Nelson, Kyle Davies, Noah Waldron, and Chief Jerry Martin, as well as the per diem paramedics. It is positively shameful to accuse anyone of wrongdoing without checking the facts. It was a simple process to find these certifications through the Department of Health website. As board members, we have a higher duty to our community to perform due diligence before making any accusation, or for that matter, before making any decision. As committee chair, I was in constant contact, too much sometimes, with a DOH rep, and reported back to the committee that all paramedics were certified and in compliance. I also reported this at the regular PhD meetings. Thirdly, the statement that the chief is required to submit proof of his educational requirements is inaccurate. Per the Department of Health and state law, not only is there no legal requirement that the chief submit proof as to where he is with respect to his continuing education requirements prior to the time of his CME recertification, but he was recertified as a paramedic in April of 2017 and is not due for recertification until 2020. At that time, he will need to submit proof of completion, not now, and certainly not to the board. It is inappropriate for public hospital board commissioners to determine the certification of personnel. In fact, it is not even within our jurisdiction. Rather, it is the DOH's responsibility. The unsubstantiated allegations that the people of our district are in jeopardy with regard to insurance risk for the chiefs or any of the paramedics' performance of duties is simply not true. It was made clear early on in the committee meetings and reported to this board that, and to the public, that the Department of Health approves or denies paramedic recertification. In addition, the public duty and qualified immunity doctrines protect the district from legal exposure for actions performed in good faith. You can find these two doctrines on the website, under there, just Google them. With regard to ordering controlled substances, the DOH and the Assistant Attorney General instructed Dr. Sullivan to make his DEA license available to the agency should they require controlled substances and other medical supplies until a supervising physician was hired and would be able to provide those services. We now have a supervising physician. There has also been much confusion about methods of training. Paramedics must meet certain continuing education training and skill requirements to be recertified by the DOH. This can be done through continuing medical education, which is called CME, which is a series of courses and completion of written and practical skills exams, or ongoing training and evaluation program, which is the OTAP, which is a program designed to meet the requirements and core topic content for recertification. Under either method, you're supposed to turn your thing off. Under either method, once an EMS provider is recertified, it is good for 3 years. DOH has confirmed there is no requirement that an EMS provider recertify under one method or the other. It is their choice. As stated before, all of our paramedics are currently certified in one of these state-approved training methods. It is not true that the agency's training plan fell apart. During committee meetings in which the DOH was present by phone, they ruled that physician-led education is not a rule, regulation, or policy, and that since the approved OTEP plan exceeded what is required for certification, the agency was not out of compliance, and there was no need for any modification by the DOH. The DOH and the Assistant Attorney General instructed Dr. Sullivan to accept the OTEP certifications. I'd like to add that it's truly unfortunate that even though many of these facts were readily accessible and discussed at committee meetings and during board meetings, it took our attorney's time and our district's money to corroborate the information that the unanimously approved and board-appointed committee had already found. I hope that some of the questions that were out there, I hope this helps to understand the issue But if anybody has any additional questions, please, it would be really best to email them to the superintendent or me or any of the other commissioners so that we can have a chance to research what, you know, the answers and answer you. So, thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca. The next order of business, looking at the official yellow copy here, now is San Juan County PhD Operations Report, Pam.
Thank you. For the month of September, we had total receipts posted by the county were $22,245.42, of which all of that was property tax revenues, and our total cash available at the end of September is $283,876.06. Disbursements for the county total $31,272.60, and the balance of the accounts payable claims was $27,960.90. There was $3,072 for quarterly payments for the commissioners and $239.70 for payroll taxes. Just a reminder that commissioner fees are paid at the end of a quarter, so the month after the end of a quarter. And their meeting rate has been raised from $114 to $128 effective July 1st. And we had no public record costs that were recorded for the month of September. And if you look at your financials for the month of September, in your revenue and expenditure by fund, it gives you the top part is your revenues and your bottom part is your expenditures. If you go out to the right-hand column, it says expend percent sign. That's the percent of the expenditures that have come in for the year, and we're at the end of September, so that's 75%. So anything falling under 75% or more is on budget, and there are a few things that are over budget. For this year, we have a nice influx of leasehold tax, which normally we don't get that, and it's running about 200% over what we normally get. The wages for the commissioners are above a little bit because we're having more special meetings than I budgeted for, which I can't always know when there's going to be special meetings, so they're a little bit higher. And the legal and accounting fees are running at 88% because we've had more accounting fees from the audit, and we also had about $12,000 that were actually 2017 legal expenses, but they didn't get the bill to us till 2018, so they're on our 2018 budget. And district expenses, which are expenses that aren't attributable to any other line item, but they are district expense, and they are running a little higher because some of the travel and meeting expenses that were for the North Sound ACH were put in district expenses, but they really could have been put in travel and meetings, which is way below at 32. So I'm asking them to do a general journal entry by the end of the year so we can see that level out. And so that's the expenses that ran a little bit higher than 75%. Do you have any questions for financials?
I would want to remind the board that, you know, we do have a lot of special meetings, have had certainly in 2018. Part of that's good news because a lot of it's centered around the sale of the medical center. But that said, you know, the board individual, the commissioners can waive their fee on a volunteer basis, either on a one-time meeting basis or globally, not only for special sessions but also for regular sessions. So.
Yes, anytime you wish to do that, you just let me know, and I will do an affidavit, and all you have to do is sign
so
it.
So for any special meeting, I'll speak for myself, just take me off the payroll. And just do one affidavit. I don't want to be doing that every time.
Now you're going to be making a negative amount?
No, I'm going to add to the special meeting, so I don't want to do that busy.
Okay. I will do that.
Thank you, ma'am.
Now, on to the operational report. The sales track, sales contract that we presently have with the HWV Properties LLC is proceeding nicely and communicating with Chicago Title on a regular basis, and things are headed to the close of sale. They are waiting on appraisal right now. That might come in a little bit later, but we're still on track to close the sale by the time that we can count our budget, if we know we can count the budget that has the inter-island medical expenses taken out. So we can verify that to the county by November 30th. So hopefully it will get done by then. And that is a reminder also in your packets, or this month I went ahead and did two budgets, one for the Inter-Island Medical Center expenses included for 2019, and then I took out the expenses for 2019 when I also received the assessor's more accurate figures that he gave me for the property tax revenues. So I am posting both of those budgets for the community to see as we need to, and then we can at the November, whenever the budget meeting is, and the November meeting when you approve the budgets, we can at that time pick the budget that hopefully will be going into 2019. So that's why there are two budgets for 2019. And then the Citizens Advisory Group, they have been meeting at the district office, which is at 849 Spring Street, Unit B5. Their next meeting will be Wednesday, November 7th at 6:30. And then again on November 28th at 6:30. And then in December, they have two meetings also, December 5th and December 19th. And a reminder that the meetings last about 2 or 3 hours. They're open to the public, and you can find the information on our district website under their Citizens Advisory Group, and it has minutes, it has audio, so anyone that wishes to follow what they are doing, you can find it there on our website. It also has places where they can communicate with the Citizens Advisory Group members, so everything's all right there. Back last meeting, we were going to have a call with Jody Corona, the task force for the long-term care nursing issues here in the county, and we did have that call, and she submitted to us a pretty comprehensive feasibility study if we wish to go forward to look at things, and that study would cost us about $50,000. So we also have met with Inter Island Healthcare Foundation, and they have agreed to be the 501(c) for donations when we start that process. So we'd like to thank the Inter Island Healthcare Foundation for doing that, and that will make going forward pretty seamless in that regard. Let's see, I talked about the budgets. And on a good note, we also received a grant from the Washington State Archives Office for $1,900. We applied for getting our file room in order and for the cost of getting rid of the documents that are timed out at the Inter Island Medical Center. There's about 100, 120 boxes of things. So we had applied for that grant, and we were awarded it, and so we were excited to have that recognition. And also, my office, I get a lot of communications from a lot of different people, and a lot of times they're negative communications. But this Monday, I got a positive communication that made me smile. So I just wanted to share it with the board and the community. The letter starts out, "Pamela, I am honored at the opportunity to share some thoughts on Chief Jerry Martin as he prepares to leave his role in San Juan County. After stepping into my current role with the North Sound Accountable Community of Health 2 years ago, Chief Martin was one of the first people to reach out and welcome me, offering any support that I might need as I learned about the region and the unique nature of each county. What I quickly learned is that Chief Martin is a kindred spirit, committed to improving the lives of people he encounters, and apparently he does that in his life beyond his role with San Juan EMS. I have been grateful for his leadership with colleagues and collaborators across the region, and his support for me and my team at the ACH. His generosity and humor have lightened us on many a day, and that does not even include the recipes and stories that get shared. The region has been lucky to have him, and for 2 years I have been fortunate to be on a journey with him to strategize ways to make people's lives better. I look forward to calling on him even after his transition to find out what he is cooking or baking, what he is making in his woodshop, and to sometimes just to feel uplifted by his optimism." So that was a good letter, I received. And even though we don't know how long we have Chief Martin, we have been honored to have him to help in our county.
And who wrote that letter, Pam?
The letter is by Liz Baxter. She's the executive director of North Sound ACH and her entire team at the North Sound ACH.
Thank you so much.
And that concludes my report.
Congratulations, Jerry.
Yes.
Those are kind words.
I'd also like to add regarding that grant, thanks to both of you for finding it and for writing it and for working through it, in addition to working in the dusty old medical center to get rid of all those boxes of things. So I think we, the board and the taxpayers, certainly appreciate the additional income to help out.
Thank you.
Okay. Any questions of Pam? Thank you, Pam. The next item on the agenda is audience participation. Sharon Caviso.
Who chose the person to review, to do the investigation?
That was counsel.
Your attorneys?
Yes, correct.
And one other thing, Dr. Appleton, you had questioned whether there were run reports from this incident. Were there run reports?
That's an executive session issue.
Whether or not there's run reports is something you can answer.
I don't know if we can, Sharon, so.
Okay.
I don't really tell you the truth.
Pretty much what I thought.
Okay.
Well, sure. I can't answer that. The standard is that there will be run reports from every run.
Anybody else? Yes. Barbara Sharp.
Okay. Yes, Barbara Sharp, San Juan Island. I would like to advocate for moving your meetings back to the legislative building. It's a purpose-built facility, far superior audio and visual recording, and most importantly, also amplification for speakers, as we've seen tonight, or this afternoon. It is tonight. As we've seen today, you know, it's hard to hear everyone speaking. I think the current situation, quite frankly, is makeshift. It's kind of like camping without a fire. I know Pam and Nathan have done their best with the resources they have available in this room. This is a classroom. It's not meant to be a formal meeting room. I know statutorily you're not required to offer audiovisual to your constituents of the meetings, but I think it's a very good idea. It's something that should be done.
And Barbara, that will be on the it's topic of discussion later on this evening.
Yes, and that's why I'm making the comment, because I did see that on the agenda.
And I must say just ahead of time that Nathan and Pam really have looked into it and really done a comprehensive job of looking at the pros and cons.
Okay, well.
So we're going to be talking about that. What we can afford, what's desirable, the whole ball
wise. Well, I think it's far more desirable than the current situation for many reasons. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Anyone else from the audience? Okay. The next order of business is under the title Unfinished Business. And CCC report, Commissioner Lindstrom.
There, I have nothing to report.
Okay.
There was no meeting.
And then moving right ahead to discussion of AB issues. Who wants to take the lead on that? Pam, Nathan?
Well, first I just would like to say that I agree that the room over at the county is much more desirable, but we were not the ones that suggested that we leave. The county informed us that we could no longer use that facility at that time and told us when our last meeting would be over there. It was in April, I think, of 2018. So it was not our idea to switch. So, you know, and ever since then, we've been trying to, you know, make the best that we can and decide on what we need to do to go forward in the future if we can't use that room. So that's what our report kind of goes over, all kinds of ideas. And then it will be up to the board to decide what to do.
I did communicate with Bill Watson and Ingrid Gabriel regarding us potentially moving back there. Bill said he didn't see any reason why we couldn't. The crux of the issue was that we weren't paying Ingrid for her hourly time. So she was basically operating the county equipment as a donation or a volunteer for her time, and she didn't want to do that anymore. They're perfectly willing to have us back there if we will pay a county employee to run the equipment. That's as far as I got. Then you apparently followed up with them.
Yes. When you charged Nathan and I to look into all the possibilities, I did talk back with Ingrid, and she did say that Bill Watson had come to talk to her, and he, you know, did not see why they could not do it, but it was up to Ingrid to say yes or no. The hourly cost would be $40 an hour, and then it's still the employees there have to stay after hours to do that. So Ingrid can't always be there to do the meetings for us, and in the future the other employee that could take over, they are retiring. So they strongly encouraged us to figure out a way that we could solve our problems, because they don't, you know, they're not always going to be there or can offer the campus that will have much better communication things to do. That's, you know, 5, 7, 8 years away. So we really need to figure this out on our own, how we want
Could
to do
we have
this.
A backup plan that we just work with the county and pay them? Pay a tech person an hourly wage. We could have the meetings there, and then in the case that we could not have the meeting there, if someone was unavailable, then this is our backup plan?
We could, but like I say, they are urging us to come up with a plan,
sure,
because they cannot always.
I just wonder while we're figuring out what our plan is, maybe that
they,
would be
they
a
said
option.
They can in an emergency. I mean, you know, of course, if we pay them $40 an hour and they have a tech that could do it, then yes. But that only covers our regular meetings. We still have the problem of doing our special meetings, and we're having more and more of those. So, you know, we need something that's going to work for both also. So it's like I say, we can discuss all of it, and then you guys can pick what you would like. So, okay.
Nathan?
It's a challenging issue, no doubt. Ideally, we would find a solution that is consistent. I'm one that works now, works 6 months, works next year, the year after. to the degree that we can. And the problem I see here is that we've sort of gotten different answers depending on the time we've asked. So we sort of got one answer last year, different answer now. And it's not that they're being wishy-washy, it's that it's a large organization with lots of people, and the people change. The employees change, the elected officials change. Last time, one of the big issues was that I correct me if I'm wrong, Pam, but if I recall, it was a risk analysis professional that said, no, you can't pay us. It's not the money, it's a liability issue. We can't have someone here because, you know, if someone falls, you're not covered under our insurance. Well, now it seems that that's not the primary issue. Now they just, you know, if we'll pay, then they'll do it. You know, what's it going to be in a year from now? So I guess that's my concern for me. But the decision is the board's. It's not mine. That would just be, if you ask me, you know, what's my number one concern if we were to meet there, that's it. When I first was hired, that's where we met. It's a great facility, and I love that software. It's great software. Having meetings that you can stream is easy for me as the person that does notes. I mean, all I have to do is pull up that video, and it's there. It's really straightforward. There are quite a few things we could do to improve this facility in terms of audiovisual options, and I've tried to outline them as best I can. I guess if you guys want to move forward with the county facility, then we will do so. It's just a question of what your priorities are and your concerns.
It seems that it wouldn't be a regular thing because of the special meetings and the workshops and the work sessions and the executive sessions that we then have to have a public area to come out to and the regular meetings. So unless we could be, you know, assured that we would be able to have a meeting room 90% of the time, I think that's a problem because we'd be just bouncing back and forth all the time. Not that we can't always have it here. Once in a while, we can't have it here either. But, I mean, if we're talking like in the 90%, I think it's less than that over there. So that worries me a little bit. The audio here, we've tried, three or four things. And I think that would be one of the major things, is to have better microphones so that people could hear better. And we have, right now, great audio tape that you split up in sections, so it's labeled pretty clearly on the website that you can look at. So that's important, and maybe better remote conferencing when we need it for people that are calling in for giving us information and, you know, whatever we need. That all would help.
I think the appearance of transparency in our meetings is really important, and I think we better serve the public in the county facility, especially because of the video streaming.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I say, if we use it, we can only use it for our regular meetings. So in all of our other meetings, we have to find a good solution also, so mm-hmm. the public can hear that as well. So
then we would be paying for two things.
Yeah, I did reach out to the town and to see what they used, because they have a system they do their meetings on too, and it's actually the same system that the county uses. They bought their own equipment, and it's the AV Capture All system, and it's just like the counties, but they bought all the equipment, and they pay, it's a little over $5,000 a year to have the equipment and do the meetings like the county does. So we can do that. We would have to have the AV Capture All person would need to come visit here, because the challenges that we faced here in trying to use, like, we got the microphones and we got everything that everybody has told us to get that will work. You plug it in and it works for about 20 minutes. And then for some reason, nobody can figure it out, it times out. So that doesn't help us when, you know, it only lasts 15 or 20 minutes and our meetings are lasting 3 hours. So we'd have to get the AV capture-all person would have to come and, you know, do an extensive look at this building and see exactly what we would need to have the equipment that would record like the town and the county. So we might have a more equipment upfront cost to get this converted, and then do the monthly subscription fee. And like I say, the town pays a little over $5,000 a month a year. For their system.
So I think there are a number of major considerations. One is utilizing the county council chambers, and Ingrid has a number of hiccups. One is it doesn't cover all the bases. Two, now we understand we can pay her $40 an hour with her consent. And just that proviso is a big ask, because she's basically working overtime. And if I was her in her shoes, I wouldn't want to do that. You know, when you're encroaching on the private time on a routine basis, that's just asking a heck of a lot. And you have turnover. So I think we should follow their lead, and that is to be self-contained. That said, we could do either just an upgrade of the audio system, as Barbara mentioned. That's the biggest consideration here. And I absolutely agree with that. And we could do that relatively inexpensively. We wouldn't have recurring monthly costs to do that. But also, we could look at the Cadillac program, and that is the capture program, and have the vendor come in here and say, okay, what would it cost us? We know on a yearly basis it's, what, $4,000 or $5,000 or so. Well, it's probably doable, I think. We'd have to look at the financial impact on your budget there, Pam, but also the capital acquisition and the maintenance of it. And when you have a system like that, I know talking to Ingrid when we had hiccups, we had a lot of hiccups with that system. She was forever having the IT person come in there and sort it out. So you have a dependency there that is costly. The IT person is not around, well, then you're down to the microphones again. So, but I think it's worth looking into. That would be my recommendation. And I think simultaneously, Nathan, look into you know, patching in a good microphone system that can go two ways. One, you can pipe in to this conference room here, but also to externalize it. We had some experience with Skype when I was out in San Diego, and that really worked very, very well for me as a remote participant. But the folks in the audience here have a heck of a time, not necessarily hearing my voice, but Annalisa, for sure. And, you know, we can do better in that regard, and we can do that for cheap, I think. So we should look at that, the two extremes, and then weigh what we have in each hand, you know, and again, with an eye to, can we afford the Cadillac version?
Does the city have
We can afford it.
Okay.
It's not bad.
Warren.
Does the city have a room that they meet in with that equipment in it?
They use the town hall, the town, yeah, facilities. Their meeting room is there.
Is that an option? Instead of the county, is the city?
Well, I talked to them at quite a lot of time. I spent time with Amy Taylor, which is their meeting person, and she takes the minutes and things, and she went over their system with me, and I talked to the person that paid the bills, and she went through and got all the financial things, but they didn't volunteer their system. They have a lot of meetings and a lot of different other meetings, and there again, we would be at somebody else's, you know, to have our meetings, you know, pitched in. So
should we just ask them if they have
a
Wednesday afternoon from 3 to 5 that's always open, and just rent it from them for a year? I mean, that's a question worth asking, is it, before we go out and spend thousands of dollars.
And then, are you talking about special meetings also? to have on the sent home?
I don't know. You can just ask them how much the room's available and not, and consistency of it. I don't know.
That would be a question worth finding out if it's, if we're okay having meetings in different places, if we have regular meetings at a different place from special meetings.
Well, we share the cost of the most, you know, as far as the capital investment in that, share the cost of maintenance.
They have I've been to a few of their meetings. They have a small space, so a lot of times we have way more people than...
It's a tiny space, actually.
It's tiny, but I can ask them.
Could we also find out maybe one more thing? I a couple of years ago, we were talking about how many people actually got into the streaming, and it was something like two or three people, maybe. I mean, it was a very low amount, very low number. So it would be nice if we could find out how many public views there are. I mean, if there's not a lot of public views, then why are we spending the money on the Cadillac? So that would be a good thing to throw in. If there's more, great. But
I think it's just about making it accessible to the public. It's not necessarily how many views it's had.
Well, it is accessible now just by the audio, so it's just you want to make it accessible by video. So I think that's just a cost versus... But yeah, if you guys could get all that information, that'd be great.
Dr. Martins?
Yeah, we have to be fiscally responsible. We also have to meet a need for the public's participation. I think the facility here is acceptable if it's upgraded. We have the means to remove for executive sessions without the audience having to be displaced anywhere. I think a Skype solution may be the best way to go.
Or Polycom, maybe.
Can't do Polycom, just the way it works.
Well, you can interface with Skype via Polycom, so it's a hybrid.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that, but possibly.
It's something new out there.
What if we just took out the back row of chairs and made everyone move forward so they could hear us?
We give them all hearing aids. What do you think?
I think they're a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
I turn mine off sometimes. What would happen if the guy came out and said 20 minutes was as long as you'd have a meeting for anyway?
Yeah. That'd be great.
What if?
20-minute meeting.
Someone would just move it along. I would go for the least expensive and see if it covers what we need. What I've heard, I haven't heard anyone saying, oh, I want to watch you at home. I haven't heard anyone. What I'm hearing is I can't. I agree with you. I'd want to do it at home, too. But hearing seems to be the big issue. Let's solve that and see if we need to go any further.
Well, frankly, we should have that at any event.
Yeah.
Warm, because these things break down. That certainly happened with the English
machine.
There's
no microscope there.
Shorted out and it stopped working. And so you have to go to the second layer, and that's the mics.
I think the board also needs to decide if it wants to invest in remote conferencing, or if you're really just looking for recordings of meetings. They are different issues with different levels of expense and complexity. And once you start overlaying these different objectives, it gets more complicated fast.
How many times have we used remote conferencing?
So are we going to make a decision on this tonight? Or?
I have a question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
How many times have we used remote conferencing? Because that was Nathan's question. We never use it. We'd use...
I see that as...
call-ins and Skype, but...
Well, we do use it frequently for guests, right? We speak with the attorney. It would be nice to be able to Skype with the attorney in executive session, have equipment for that. And, you know, potentially we'd use it more if that was available. If Dr. Rappleton is in Alaska with friends, he wants to dial into the meeting, we've got a nice setup, you know, potentially that would be a useful thing to do. But, you know, they are different things. The conferencing versus recording meetings, they're different issues. If you want to do both, it gets a lot more complicated fast. And then you need people that can do it. So if I'm sick, or whoever does it is sick, or gone, and in any case, when I take notes, I can't easily do a lot of different technical things. So those are all important considerations as well. Likewise, we basically kick Lainey out of her office when we're here, and we're here in the EMS building, and there's, you know, we can't help but be in the way to some degree. They're all important considerations.
So where are we?
Well, one of the things, if we're going to be inclusive of Capture All and get a bid from the vendor, then by definition we're going to have to delay any sort of comprehensive decision making tonight. That said, I'll go back to what I said earlier, you know, having a good mic system, I would have that. We have to do a bit of belt and suspenders on this. Good mic system is going to be cost effective. It's really going to help folks out in a very measured and important way, and I think I would definitely pursue that and have one that goes two ways, one that you can pipe it in here and then pipe it into a computer via Skype.
Okay.
And keep it at that level of complexity. And then secondly, you know, get the Capture All vendor in here and see what the Cadillac looks like. And thirdly, what Warren mentioned, you know, approaching the town of Friday Harbor.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know, they can always say no. Does the board agree with that?
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Dr.
Well, Park, Utah.
What's that?
Park, Utah. It's a destination.
Oh, okay. Okay, so it sounds like we have a consensus on the board. You okay with that, Nathan and Pam?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay, very good.
And you, well, how will we get this back? Are we going to move on it before the next meeting? Or?
Well, we need to hear from the vendor, you know, with Capture All. So I think
so
we
will
just
it be on the whole business next meeting?
Yes.
That's my whole question.
For sure.
We'll do some research and get back to you. We'll do some research and get back to you.
Okay, good.
Well, nice job on this report.
Yes.
Really thorough. As always, great.
Thank you. Pam and I were